Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our investigation of lies in the textbooks. Today, we will be talking about the influence of Islam on Christianity in Europe, as stated in our textbooks, which sadly is taught to our student kindergartens to the 12th grade in our public schools. First, let us listen to the lies as stated in the textbook.
From the Florida Teacher's Guide, Corrections to Islam-Biased Content in Florida's K-12 Textbooks, Teacher's Guide, Addendum, published by Glencoe World Geography, McGraw-Hill, Glencoe, copyright 2000-2003. Page 296. Another influence on Christian Europe was Islam, a religion based on the belief in one God and the preachings of Muhammad, a prophet who lived in Southwest Asia during the 600s. Within a century of Muhammad's death, Islam had spread from Southwest Asia through North Africa and into Spain. Muslims, the followers of Islam, developed a culture in Spain that passed on to Europeans many achievements in science, mathematics, and medicine.
Did you hear what the textbook said? The influence of Islam on Christian Europe. As if there was some positive things came out of Islam which affect the Christian European. And what is Islam? The textbooks state a religion based on belief in one God. Do you know what the real reason is for Muslims to emphasize that they believe in one God? The reason is because they claim that Christians worship three gods and they are much better than Christians because they only believe in one God. But is that true? Do Christians believe in three gods? And do Muslims worship one absolute God? Obviously, the understanding of Muslims that we Christians worship three gods, it is a confusion started by Muhammad and those who interpreted the verses of the Quran. For we Christians do not worship three gods, God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son. That is obviously according to the teaching of the Quran, chapter 5, verse 116. When Allah said to Jesus, which is known in the Quran by the name Isa, O Isa, son of Mary, did you tell the people to worship you and your mother as God beside me? So here is the false trinity of Muhammad, according to the teaching of the Quran, chapter 5, verse 116. Also, if you read the interpretation of Muslim scholars to all the passages in the Quran, when Allah states in the Quran that Allah has no son, you see the great emphasis by Muslim scholars to reject the sonship of Christ as if it is a result of a physical relationship between God and some female. And we can see this also throughout the writings of the Quran. And there you read the interpretation of Ibn Kathir, Al-Tabari, Al-Qurtubi, Al-Jalalain, which is the top four Muslim scholars to the Muslims. They emphasize that Christians worship three gods, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In either way, we Christians do not worship three gods, but we believe in one God who is a triune. He is God the Father, God the Word who became flesh, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, if we open the Quran, will we see that Muslims truly believe in one absolute God? Do you know when Muhammad described Jesus, whom he called Isa in the Quran, he emphasized that Allah is a triune God? If we go to Quran chapter 4 and verse 171, we see there that Allah is telling the Christians not to exaggerate in the religion, but to believe in Jesus for who he is and listen to the words of Allah in the Quran. Allah said, O people of the book, do not exaggerate in your religion and do not speak against Allah except the truth. Surely the Christ Isa, son of Mary, is only a messenger of Allah and his word, which he cast to Mary and a spirit from him. I always ask my dear Muslim friends, is the spirit of Allah a created thing or an eternal thing? Another important question is the word of Allah an eternal thing or a created thing? First, let's talk about the spirit of Allah. As we know from Muslim scholars, the level of confusion concerning who the spirit of Allah is beyond measure. They come up actually with 19 interpretations to what the spirit of Allah is. For some said the spirit of Allah is the Quran. Some said the spirit of Allah is the Torah, the first five books in the Bible. Some said the spirit of Allah is the Injil, the Gospel. And there are many other opinions. But most Muslim scholars agree that the spirit of Allah is Angel Gabriel, which is nonsense. Why? Because there are plenty of verses in the Quran disproves the idea that the spirit of Allah is Angel Gabriel. For example, we read in the Quran that the spirit of Allah was put into Adam at creation. So how can Allah put Angel Gabriel inside Adam? And notice in the story of Adam, we see that Allah ordered the angels to worship Adam after he put his spirit into Adam. And Angel Gabriel was among those who worshipped Adam. So how can Angel Gabriel be inside Adam and at the same time worshipped Adam? The spirit of God is eternal. So it is the word of God. The Quran here is very clear that the Christ is the Son of Mary is the word of Allah. Not a word from Allah, but he is actually the words of Allah. So if we look at this verse, Quran chapter 4, verse 171, we will realize that Allah, the God of Muhammad, is not one absolute being. Why? Because he has with him his word and his spirit. So when we go back to the textbook, and the textbooks claim that Muslim worship one God, that itself is a false claim. For according to the Quran, chapter 4, verse 171, Allah is triune. Allah and his word and his spirit. For Jesus, Isa of Muhammad, is the word of Allah and a spirit from Allah. I know this, I'm not saying that's what Muslims believe, but that's what Muhammad put in the Quran. Because in the same verse, Muhammad contradicted himself. And he said what? So believe in Allah and his messengers and do not say three. Muhammad contradicted himself in the same verse. He does not believe in Trinity, even though he told us that Allah is triune. Allah, his word, and his spirit. Let's go back to the lies in the textbook. For the textbook said that Muslims believe in one God, which is capital G-O-D. Every time you see the word God, capital G-O-D in the textbooks concerning Islam, it is a lie. Why? Because Muslims, as I said many times in the past, do not believe in the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And they do not believe in that. The God of the Bible has a son and his name is Jesus Christ. And Muslim people do not believe in that. So obviously we need to remove the word God, capital G-O-D, when we talk about Islam and change it to small G-O-D or simply we need to replace it with the word Allah. What else about Muslim? Muslim believe in one God, which is a lie, and the preaching of Muhammad, a prophet who lived in Southwest Asia during the 600s. Well, I'm sorry, when the textbook declare Muhammad to be a prophet, not adding the words the claimed prophet or the false prophet, that itself is a lie. We should never allow such lies to be written in our textbook for our children. Remember, these are little children who believe anything and everything our teachers tell them. They trust our teachers. They believe that their teacher will not lie to them. And here we read together that Muhammad is a prophet. To tell me that Muhammad is a prophet That means you're insulting Christianity and Christ. I know Muslims get upset when I say to them that Muhammad is a false prophet, but the truth is, if Muhammad is a prophet, that makes Jesus a false prophet. And in this case, you're insulting all Christians. For Jesus' teaching was very clear that he is the final prophet. There is no true prophet will come after him, only false prophets. So for the textbook to bluntly state that Muhammad is a prophet, that itself is a lie. You can say, according to Muslim who believes that Muhammad is a prophet, that's fine with me. But there is no way we can allow our textbook insert this statement as if it is a fact. Especially, as we have seen so many times in the past, when the same textbook insert or teach anything about Christianity, they always state that according to the Christian, or they believe. They never insert any facts about Christianity or Judaism. Why don't they use the same style of writing when they talk about Islam? Therefore, the statement of Muhammad being a prophet must be replaced with Muslim claim, or according to Islam, Muhammad was a prophet who lived in Southwest Asia during the 600s.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Now let us listen to the rest of the lies. For the textbook states, within a century of Muhammad's death, Islam had spread from Southwest Asia through North Africa and into Spain. Don't you love it when you read how Islam spread all over the world in our textbook? They make it sound like people were really dancing, jumping upside down in the street, praising God for the coming of Islam. Islam spread. But how the textbook describes the spreading of Islam, it's not there. But it sounds so positive that it within 100 years, all North African countries became Muslim. Even the Spanish accepted Islam. But did the textbook describe how this took place? I read in the comments by Citizens for National Security the following statement. It should be noted that Islam spread under the sword by force. People were not flocking to Islam voluntarily. Millions were killed by Muslims. The oppressive nature of the dhimmi status for Jews and Christians forced a tribute payment, which is called the jizya. The words the textbook is using to describe how Islam spread in North Africa, in Asia, even in Spain, is written in a very positive way. Why does the textbook ignore how Islam spread in North Africa? Why don't they tell the true story of how the Christian men in all these countries were killed and their wives and daughters were raped by the Muslim men and they became pregnant out of rape and they birthed new babies into the cult of Islam. Why not? Tell the whole truth. They want to brainwash all children by this propaganda Islam. Yes, indeed, boys and girls, Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. And within 100 years after Muhammad died, Islam spread all over the world, in Asia, North Africa, even Spain. It's amazing. The other day, I was doing a study on the numbers of battles which took place in Spain. There were more war battle in Spain than all the wars which Muslims have performed all over North Africa and Asia. Hundreds of battles, one after one in Spain, until Spain fell into the hand of the barbaric jihadist Muslims. But every time, in every textbook, in our public schools, even in our colleges, when the writers, liberal or Muslim, write about Muslim in Spain, they always represent it to be just a wonderful mission. The Muslim went there as if they translated the Quran to the Spanish language, and in few weeks, all the Spanish people said the Shahada and they became Muslims. Why not tell the truth concerning the number of battles which were led by the Muslims against the Spanish people? Why not tell the whole truth concerning the amount of millions of Spanish Christians who were killed by the hand of the Muslims? No. That will not fit the liberal and the Muslim agenda in our public schools, even in our universities. Then the lie ended in this passage by stating Muslim developed a culture in Spain that passed on to Europeans. Many achievement in science, mathematics, and medicine. And I can't help but when I read this but to laugh. They want to give credit to science and math and medicine to Islam? Let me remind you again. Scientifically, the Quran said the earth is flat. Scientifically, the Quran said Allah creates seven earths. Scientifically, the Quran said the earth stands still, but the sun and the moon move around the earth. And by the way, the sun sits in the murky spring in the evening, and that's how it gets dark, boys and girls. How much of this is true science? Mathematics. For heaven's sake, Muhammad, the great salesman, every time he mentioned numbers in the Quran, it is nothing but an error. Muhammad did not know how to add a 100% when he talked about the inheritance in the Quran. He did not know how to add the numbers of the days of creation in the Quran. Was the days of creation 6 days or 8 days? As for medicine, I can't help but to laugh. You know why? Because every time Muhammad opened his mouth to talk about medical issues, he was 100% wrong. For example, Muhammad said, if a fly falls into a wa'a, a cup or a dish, baptize it. And then throw the fly away and eat or drink whatever you have in your dish. And when they asked Muhammad, why is that? He said, because one of the wings of the fly has the virus and the other wings have the cure of the virus. And if you shake both wings under the fluid or under the food, then it will neutralize itself and you will not get sick. Is this true? Or how about Muhammad when he said in the hadith, when you eat, you fill one third of your stomach with food, the second third of your stomach you fill with water. As for the third portion of your stomach, you must fill with air. Can we put air in our stomach? How about what the Quran teaches about camel urine? When the Araniyin, who went to Muhammad and they said to him, oh, Apostle of Allah, we're sick. So he sent them outside of the village to catch for themselves from his camel some camel urine to drink. I know some Muslim will reject what I'm saying here by stating I'm not telling the whole truth. Because Muhammad said they must drink camel milk and camel urine. That is wonderful. Which doctor will agree with Prophet Muhammad that camel milk mixed with camel urine is a medicine to heal some sickness? Read the Quran chapter 5 and verse 33 when Allah said, surely The reward of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and go about to vandalize on the earth is only that they will be killed or crucified or have their hands and feet cut off on opposite side, or they will be banished from the earth. This is their disgrace in this world, and in the hereafter they will have a great torment. And when we read the interpretation of this verse by all Muslim scholars, you will see that this verse is talking about some sick people who went to Muhammad, whom he sent to his camel to catch camel urine to drink, for in it there is healing. And these people, according to the interpretation of Muslim scholars, after they were healed, they killed Muhammad's shepherd and they stole the camels. That's why Muhammad brought them back to the city, cut their hands and feet from opposite side. Then Muhammad poked out their eyes with hot nails. And then he left them outside the city until they died. But the catch of the verse here is Dr. Muhammad prescribed camel urine for these people to be healed from their sickness. What a wonderful alternative medicine we learn about from Prophet Dr. Muhammad. It's about time for us to remove these lies from our textbooks and replace it with some truths about Islam and Muslim, Muhammad and the Quran, Allah, the God of Muhammad. To learn more about lies in our textbooks, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.